to the final bell. The Geelong Cats official podcast is back for another week. And as always, I'm excited to be joined by Scotty Gallen and Zach Toohey. Scotty, a slightly grumpy Zach Toohey. I'm happy to be here as well.
But our friend.
Zach, you okay?
I'm fine. Stop talking. I'm fine. Why is everyone shouting?
We're going to talk the weekend, the Saturday, and it was a bad one, and we'll get into why and perhaps how it can build into a much better result on Saturday night against the Blues here at GMHBA Stadium. We will talk what went wrong. We'll talk Gaz. We'll talk everything that's going on in the news with the Cats at the moment. We're going to be talking, just to get a real positive vibe to it, Big Sav, Asava Ratigalia.
Special guest.
He's our special guest. We'll have our VFL wrap with Angus Kramer. We'll talk VFLW with Paul Hood. We'll answer your questions and we'll also pick out some body or some organisation. Perhaps it's under a little bit of pressure.
There'll be a few of those.
For whom the bell tolls.
Now, Cameron, are you allowed to swear on this podcast?
Probably not.
Okay. I just want to clear that because Zach.
Depends if Zach really wants to come off the long run.
Was that
or
on my behalf you were asking? I'm just you worried I might slip.
Clearing the decks.
Well, let's get straight there then. The start, stop, and keep, like we do every week.
Yep.
The stop that we came up with before you walked in the room and
creative stop.
Yeah. Can we stop having 5 goals kicked by the opposition before we kick a goal?
We can try.
They got off to a flyer, the Bombers, and they were always going to come out pretty fired up. What went wrong and what's it feel like? You're sitting back in the back line and that ball is flying down and there are goals getting kicked. What's that feeling like? Do you just feel like the whole world's coming at you?
Yeah, it's kind of that helpless feeling because, I mean, you're trying so desperately to do your job and, you know, stop your direct opponent being involved, but it just felt like an avalanche. And look, Essendon are a good team. They've struggled a lot, but for pretty much every game this year, or most of them certainly, they've been in it, you know, into the second half and just kind of been blown away a bit late on. They're a really skillful team. If you give them time and space between the acts, they'll just carve you up. And for far too often, we gave them time and space.
And do you're sitting there going, it'll stop soon, it'll stop soon, we'll get momentum, but and then it doesn't?
Well, I can't remember. We might have spoke about this on a previous episode where momentum changes dramatically between breaks, but geez, it's hard to stop it during the quarters. So you'll find teams get big quarters where they've heavily scored against and almost immediately turn around the next quarter, but it is just so difficult to stop it.
Have we got, it's been spoken about, written about already, the midfield balance of the great players in there versus the more defensive-minded midfielders, if I put it in that way. I'm trying not to be disrespectful there because the other players, of course, have a mind for defence. The balance in the midfield, is it that fine a balance that if you get it wrong, then the ball can come flying out there that quickly as opposed to what we've seen for the previous few weeks where the balance seemed to be much better?
Yeah, it's probably, you don't want to chuck the baby out with the bathwater just yet. It was an awful first half. And the leaders particularly have acknowledged that this week. And I know our midfield won't be happy at all with how they performed, kind of like how pretty much every line won't be happy with how they performed. But, you know, like every game, we'll look at the balance and we'll look at the personnel. And if you're not doing your job, you won't play.
All the shows, they love a stat, as you know, Cameron. And the big three, Sell, Danger and Gaz, they've only been to 14 centre bounces together. I know Gaz missed games. That's not a lot. So this impression that, oh, they're the problem, I think is a little bit quick for people to fire the gun.
I would have thought so too, Scotty. You mentioned Gaz. We will move on from this.
Yeah, it's fine.
he's the highest profile player in the competition, probably along with Buddy Franklin and Dusty Martin. He didn't have a good one and he put his hand up straight away and said he wasn't at his best on the weekend since Saturday. Have you noticed anything about him? Have you noticed that burning competitiveness of Gary where there is no question he will come out and respond on Saturday night?
Yeah, he's one of these guys who's burdened by his own kind of history and his own brilliance. Like most players aspire to be as good as he is on a bad day. So, you know, like, yeah, of course he's going to respond and he'll be kind of stinging and sore and hurting like a lot of our guys will, I suspect. But he's maybe the best ever, but he's certainly one of them. And just wait till Saturday and see what he does.
And I think that's important. I got asked a question on radio on Sunday. What about Gary? He's been back for two games now and was off, absolutely. But let's see what he's like once he's had six continuous games under his belt. Yeah. He's getting across the ground. He's felt the pace of the game. And he's not... You know, even when he's getting the footy at the moment, he feels like he needs to get rid of it straight away because he's not sure about who's going to tackle him. Once he gets the pace of the game...
Yeah,
we'll see him explode away from a couple of contests still. Yeah.
I think he's still figuring out what he's going to be in this setup. You know, because in his mind, he's a midfielder. You know, 30 touches every day of the week. But he is 34, and then people thought he'll play mainly forward. I think he's still feeling out how he fits in the system. And as you said, he's only played four games or something.
All right, we're going to let you off the hook now. Because we're going to move on to keep. No, we're still talking the game here, Scotty. Have you got a keep for us? What were you saying?
Yeah. Keep playing Carlton after a hot reload.
Don't say that before we play him.
No, I can say that. It's the best draw that's ever been invented. Oh, well, the AFL need to be congratulated.
Can I then add, stop it, Scotty.
Did we mention Carlton lost by 25 goals? They,
and they, beat they Essendon the week before, the team who just flogged us.
We don't look at that.
What about keep the external noise out? It was a bad day Saturday, bad game against a team who you should have beaten, but... The ability to now, all the talk since that game, the ability to keep that external noise out. And I referenced Richmond last year. When they lost to, I think, the Giants and Frio from impossible situations, they got belted by the Adelaide Crows. That was just, the talk was, the same old Tigers. Yeah. They're going to finish ninth again. They blocked it out and they go on and win a premiership.
Yeah.
How much can you block out that external noise?
It's a more valuable skill now than it's ever been. And every club will tell you, every club in the league will tell you, oh, we don't listen and we block it out. But I guarantee you, at least some players at every club find that hard to do. Because like I'm into footy. I like watching it and I like watching the shows and I like reading the papers and that. And I haven't done it for a few weeks. But it is a real skill. And it's something driven by the leaders and driven by, you know, the more experienced guys. And there's no shortage of those types of players here.
This brings me back to when you were in your prime, Cameron, there was a famous fork in the road moment, 2007?
Yeah, round five.
The outside noise was thunderous, I'd suggest.
Well, strange. We were 2-3 coming off a bad season 2006, and one of your colleagues at the Herald Sun wrote a...
Johnny Ralph, my man.
An article, yes, suggesting that the culture at Geelong wasn't great and that... I think that had we had the opportunity again, perhaps taking the opportunity to move Bomber on in the review. And there was
Did he have circles on heads?
There was a team photo with crosses, question marks and ticks.
Oh,
there weren't
this.
A hell of a lot of ticks. I think there were crosses and question marks on the likes
what
of...
What did you have?
Steve Johnson, myself. I had a cross or a question mark. Max Rook, Corey Enright, Tom Harley, James Kelly.
He was a bit unlucky with a couple of
Brad Ottens.
You've let this go, haven't you? Haven't hung on to it. But.
It's simply an example of the noise that is out there. That was round five, 2007. The following week, we played Richmond and won by 157 points. And...
The Cats fans that are
listening. Yeah, we won the flag by 119 points. So things can turn, and the ability to block out that external noise is important. Well, do you reckon I've been holding a grudge?
No, not at all. It's not
very
like
swift with those names, isn't he?
Funny that. All right, start. Now, not to say that you need these people coming back, because no doubt the group that played on Saturday is going to be what turns it around.
Yep.
But... Are we going to start seeing some players coming back into this team? And I'll run through some names and you give us an update on them. Scott Selwood?
Not yet.
The long-term ones, Cam Guthrie, Lachie Henderson?
Yeah, obviously not coming back this week, but both on track. In fact, maybe a week or two ahead, but that's still a few weeks away.
Brandon Parfitt?
Not just yet. He did train this week, so he looks pretty good. But I suspect we'll be careful with him.
So trained well, but they'll go pretty close to going. Yep. Nakia Cockatoo.
It's another one who's on track, but not just yet.
I believe might be playing next week.
He looks like he'll be good to play VFL next week.
That's exciting. Men's?
No.
Not yet. And Lachie Fogarty.
Fogs, no, he's not ready yet. Can't wait to get him back. He's one of my favourites.
Okay, I want someone who's coming back. What about the man we're going to talk to soon, Asava? Is he back?
Sav will be back.
Yes.
I've got a funny story about his reaction to the Essendon game, so we'll save that.
Perfect. He's just walked in. I think he's going to listen to us do the rest of his podcast. Before we get to him, we're going to take a break. You can take a breath, Zach, because we've grilled you a little bit. VFL and VFLW wrap coming up in just a second. As I mentioned, Asava Radigalia is our guest today. We're looking forward to having a chat to him, but let's take a break.
The Three Musketeers, Blink 182, Triple Threat, three in a row, the BLT, Selwood, Ablett, Dangerfield. There's no doubt the best things come in threes. And now the Geelong Cats introduce the MCG 3 membership. You get entry to any three of our home and away games against the Pies, Bombers, Tigers or Hawks at the home of football in 2018. Price from $36, head to membership.geelongcats.com.au.
Welcome back. Let's get straight into the VFL and VFLW wraps. Angus Kramer is joining us again. Angus, good to see you.
Thanks, Lingy. Thanks, boys. Good to be here again.
Unfortunately, the boys went down in the VFL. A close one, playing Essendon at Windy Hill. The great Windy Hill went down by 7 points. What happened?
Yeah, it was a close one in the end. They did skip out to a pretty big lead. They had a 15-minute patch end of the third quarter, start of the fourth, where they kicked 7 goals unanswered, which really shot us in the foot. So it was pretty positive other than those 15 minutes, which is unfortunate.
Now, before Zach and Scotty ask you some questions, just notice the best players again.
Oh, no, I was going to jump in.
Were you? Ryan Abbott, number 45, in the best players, Angus. I'm assuming it's only a matter of time before we see him gracing the AFL field.
It might be only a matter of time. He is putting together a pretty good month of football, and he's doing it around the ground and in the ruck, being one of the better ruckmen on the ground. He played against Matty Leuenberger on the weekend, who's a established AFL ruckman. So it's pretty good for Ryan Abbott, and he's timed it pretty well. So he could be coming into the side soon.
Only a matter of time before 45's back, Scotty.
Cameron has his favourite. I have one. I haven't mentioned him yet. Jermaine Jones is my man. I did his story on him when he got drafted, Zach. Got called here by the PR man. Come and do it. I go, I'm not doing it. Rookie, why am I here? What? And they go, he's got
start
a great
career on.
Well, it's like, imagine if you were told to, I don't know.
Go on. Keep digging.
Develop one of the young players like Asava Radigalia, who we're about to talk
anyway, he's got a great story. And I did it, and he's a wonderful excitement machine. This is his second year, and he's best on pressure forward. His timing could be impeccable.
He has timed it pretty well. When you did the story on him, was he bit nervy when you
interviewed
him? No,
he was a confident kid then.
Yeah, because he's very confident round, but once I put the microphone in front of him, he gets a bit...
You'll wear him down, Angus.
He gets a bit worried. But no, his form's been really good, and he's got a bit of X factor about him, and he's got that pace and got that goal-kicking ability, and he celebrates them pretty hard.
Well, he ticks all the boxes. You know, the pressure, the buzz, Richmond's sort of a small forward, isn't he? That's what we're looking for.
And he is exceptional with that pressure, even at training. Speaking of guys that are taking the game to a new level in pre-season, he stuck out. O'Connor? Can we get him in, please?
Is this just a chance for all of us to push our own barrow for our favourite players?
It's kind of nonsense. Like, he's that good.
Well, I'm just interested in that, like, obviously these players this year, but when Podrick was going around, if Zach would have gone for him, Lingy, were you behind Cam Delaney and Joel Hamlin to get them into the side?
It's
all about the number?
I eventually pushed Luke Beveridge to play him in the grand final for the Bulldogs. I was holding on that. No, sorry.
Mark actually brought it up on the weekend. He goes, I've been listening to the podcast because it's the place I get a mention every week. So he is going pretty well. It was tough on the weekend for him and a lot of players. The Essendon had a lot of quality AFL listed players in, and they made it tough for us. But hopefully we can turn around next week against Williamstown. That'd be the goal.
Against Williamstown next week, whereabouts?
We're down here, 11 a.m. All three games are on GMHBA Stadium, which will be exciting. So we've got the early one.
Super Saturday. Mm.
Definitely.
Fantastic.
Mm. We must mention Reece Stanley kicked 4 and buzzer 3. So the big man, you know, Zach Smith, it's going to be an interesting selection.
It is interesting. We've got a very tall forward line because Lingy's man Ryan Abbott does the majority of the rucking in the team. Stanley and buzzer chucked up forward. And it is a very, very talented forward line. And they combined for, 7 goals, as you said. But we'd just like to kick a few more as a team, and I'm sure they'd like to get wins in the VFL as well.
Perfectly done. As always, Angus, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Okay, unfortunately, the VFL couldn't get a win on top of the AFL not having a win. But let's celebrate the one team who did have a victory on the weekend, the VFLW team. We are joined by Supercoach, we're going to call you now, because We're going to celebrate the winning team. Paul Hood, Hoodie, good to see you.
G'day, Lingy. G'day, guys. It's good to be here. Yeah, it was nice to get 4 points on the weekend. Having to wait for Sunday to Cats fans was a bit hard, but it was a good finish to the weekend.
The score, impressive. 8 goals, 9 57 to 0 goals, 4 for a total of 4 over Williamstown. You held them goalless.
Yeah, pretty impressive effort, actually, from our entire team, you know, all parts working together to defend. Williamstown actually had a shot from the top of the goal square on the final siren, and they just missed. So it was unfortunate for them.
So was it a windy day, Hoodie? Tell us, was there a scoring advantage to one end?
Absolutely. Anyone who's been to Williamstown before knows what they're going to get. So, yeah, scoring towards the city end was the order of the day, and we had one plan, don't kick it in the ocean.
I liked it. And Rocky, our girl Rocky, best on again.
Yeah, she's playing really good footy. She's just her ability to win the ball at speed and then break lines and kick it long is hugely effective in our game.
Now, you've held back from us in the past. Yeah. We're a little bit...
We need to talk about
supposed
this.
To be a friend of the podcast, Hoodie, and you haven't given us the big word on the signings when we've spoken to you in the past. Now you get the chance. Fill us in. We've got more signings coming in for the AFLW team. Name them all. Who have we got?
Now, firstly, I've got to apologise, Lingy. Okay, so you know what happens to us at St Joey's. We get learnt really young to follow the rules. So,
we get learnt really
young. Yeah, learnt.
Don't get learnt English.
I was one of the ones teaching the learning. That's horrendous, isn't it? We get taught. Anyway, moments after I left last time, we were able to announce the signing of Mel Hickey, which is a great coup for the club. She's been tremendous already getting around the group. And then Astor O'Connor coming on as well is great for us with all of her experience at VFLW and AFLW level. And then Phoebe McWilliams and Maddie Boyd yesterday back from GWS is terrific for us. So 4 key position players that are really going to provide a great nucleus along with the rest of the local girls and the ones that have come back from Melbourne.
How many have we got locked away now, total?
I think we're up to something like 14. Yeah, so it's a great start. And the final list will be 30, so still a few more to come yet.
And the Geelong Falcons girls team won the premiership. Do we have automatic access to them?
Automatic is still being negotiated. Obviously, not all of them, but we're really keen to make it as easy as possible for Geelong girls to play footy in their, I was going to say natural environment, but let's call it local environment for now.
Yeah, Hoodie, I mean, you're doing a great job, but North Melbourne, can I get a comment on them? They're out of control. This is like North Melbourne in 1970. They've signed how many? Guns from every club.
They've spread their wings far and wide, yeah, as far as the signing period goes. And initially, both the new expansion clubs were encouraged to sign players from other clubs and allow for movement within the competition. North Melbourne have been really effective at executing the strategy that they want to. So good luck for them.
And our focus is local, like you mentioned. We want the locals to get their chance down here.
Absolutely. We really believe that with the access to get to the footy club in Geelong, you know, it's a 10-minute drive from anywhere in Geelong. The girls can get in here and really work hard on their games. We're going to get a long-term advantage by developing locals and helping them work on their footy.
Who's this week, Hoodie?
For us, yes. We've got Carlton here in a curtain raiser to the AFL men's game. So it's a pretty historic occasion for the women's program, and hopefully everyone can get along and have a look at it. Under lights at 4:30, I think, the kickoff. So should be pretty good fun.
Perfect. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Hoodie. Okay, time for your questions where we take the chance for you to send in whatever questions you've been thinking about. Jump on any of the social media channels to send them through to either myself, Zach or Scotty. Hopefully there's a couple for you this week, Scotty.
Oh, I've sent enough in.
You know what? I'm excited. We're obviously getting some listeners to our podcast, and that shouldn't
It's hard to believe.
Be surprising, but we're getting some star listeners too.
Cool.
Our first question is from Lockie Whitfield.
GWS own.
That's what it says here. Number one draft pick, Lockie Whitfield from GWS. I think it's the Lockie Whitfield. He questioned, and this will link nicely with what Angus just spoke about for you. How far away is Jermaine Jones?
Oh, wow.
You're pushing him hard to get in
Thursday
there.
Thursday night, I think, you'll find his name will appear.
In selection.
I'm going for him. I think they need to. Carlton's a perfect opponent down here. Get the kid in.
Is he talking through his hat?
No, he's going to be close. He will be close pressure, in the next few weeks.
And obviously we had a flat one, so there's guys who probably might have to go back to VFL, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Get the kid in. See what he's got.
Okay. Thank you, Lockie Whitfield.
Thank you, Lockie Whitfield.
Wrap the Giants are listening to our podcast. Next one's from Matthew Burnett. This one's for you, Zach. Can Gary be better utilised playing half forward? Two reasons is his experience to deliver clean ball into the forwards and his ability to run inside 50 and score.
As a half forward?
Yes.
Well, you're probably limiting his ability to kick it inside 50 if he's playing half forward, you would think. But look, potentially, I think everyone concedes he could probably be a star forward pocket sort of role. But he's plenty of cares left in him, and he had a disappointing one on the weekend. But like we just spoke about, give him a week or two, and I reckon he'll be back to his best.
Absolutely. Stephen Benny's the next one. Mentioned your name,
Steve,
Scotty.
My man.
Oh, no. Never knew Gullen.
Oh.
Don't
Mr.
get a
Gullen?
Is that the end?
Never knew Gullen was a Dogs man until last week. How has Scott always had so much to do with Geelong, even writing a book, as an opposition fan?
Wow, it's all about contacts, relationships, and trust, Cameron.
Your ability to be professional?
Yeah, that too. I haven't been called that for a while. No, because I live down here and the timing was right. I think I moved here a couple of years earlier and then your mob suddenly became the best team ever. And we got talking about a book and then I was in.
Speaking of Scotty's professionalism in his journalism career, the interview, post-match interview that we did after the 2007 Grand Final on the Sunday, it was yourself from representing the Herald Sun and Sam Lane representing The Age with me. What did we go and do?
Well, I wrote it in the office of The Edge, surrounded by beer while Cameron and others, and then just wandered out straight into the party. It was one of the highlights of my journalistic career.
So that's why he gets it, Stephen, because he's such a professional, as you can hear there. Tanya Sharrock, that may be related to the great Geelong player John Sharrock, who knows. How do the players cope with negative social media? I read some of the stuff people write and I'm angry for the players.
Yeah, it is. It's difficult, especially for the younger guys getting drafted, because they've spent, you know, all their teens at this stage with social media being such a big part of their life. But largely it's around education. That's kind of the boring answer. But the truth is you just need to sort of help them along and help them phase it out when things aren't going great.
Is there a level of discipline that you need to teach them that just don't check?
Yeah, I don't really think that's... that might be what some players need. I don't really think it's a fair solution that because some people, you know, turn into keyboard warriors, that you shouldn't have this thing that you've had for years. But yeah, there's going to be a reasonable amount of limited use and stuff like that. But it is a tricky one for the younger guys.
Last question. Rob LaRoche. Who wore the long sleeve jumper best? Cam Guthrie, Jimmy Bartel, or Gary Malarkey? Ooh. Back in your day, Scotty.
Thank you, Cameron. I'd suggest number three. I think James wore it quite well in his distinguished career.
Yeah,
he liked it.
He loved it.
Stood out.
He hated being known as just a wet weather player, though. If it was raining, we'd purposely stir him up and go, "Oh, Jimmy, these are your conditions here." He'd go, "Oh, shut up! I'm not just a wet weather player." So he did wear it pretty well, though, didn't he?
He was all right.
Zach wears it better than all of them in the second half of the game.
Second half.
I saw it again. It was beautiful.
That's true. That is very true. Please keep sending in those questions. Happy to answer whatever they are and happy to get a little bit of honest feedback and anything you can throw in Scotty's direction, including just referring to him as Gullen, makes us smile. So, send the questions in and we will endeavour to answer as many as we can. Got to take a break. Asava's in the room. We're going to have a chat with him in a second. But just a reminder about the Cats Women in Sport Breakfast, Levelling the Field. A fantastic lineup of guest speakers, Kate Darby and Mal Hickey. A couple of the players who've signed on for the AFLW team next year. Nancy Romano, who was highly involved in the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. And Sammy Lane, a colleague of mine, is coming along as the guest speaker. It'll be a fantastic fantastic morning. So Friday, 15th of June, it's a 7 a.m. start. Jump on events at geelongcats.com.au for a heap more info. We'll be back soon.
The Three Musketeers, Blink 182, Triple Threat, Three in a Row, The BLT, Selwood, Ablett, Dangerfield. There's no doubt the best things come in threes. And now the Geelong Cats introduce the MCG3 membership. You get entry to any three of our home and away games against the Pies, Bombers, Tigers or Hawks at the home of football in 2018. Price from $36, head to membership.geelongcats.com.au.
Welcome back. You're listening to the official Geelong Cats podcast, to the final bell, and the bit we've been looking forward to most. We can have a little bit of fun now. Zach's finally being able to breathe. We've moved on from Saturday afternoon, and we're going to be chatting with Asava Radigalia. I'm going to say one of the most exciting young players at the Cats at the moment. Sav, welcome to you.
Thank you, Lingy. Thanks for having me, guys.
I can't believe it. When you first got drafted and reading about your story, you didn't start playing football until you, I think, 2013,
yep,
roughly. Fijian background, mm-hmm, came from nowhere. I thought, oh, okay, this is a project that's going to take 5 or 6 years before he's going to get a game. You know, let's see how it goes. Straight away, having an impact. Yep. Can you believe it? You probably believe in it yourself, but for somebody from the outside, it's been a remarkably quick transition to AFL football.
Yeah. I'm surprised as much as you are, but so I played a lot of soccer when I was younger, so I started footy a bit later. I guess this year is just everything went my way, really. I went through a full pre-season and I'm feeling the fittest I've ever felt, so I'm starting to play a few games and get a few games under my belt, and I'm starting to feel a bit more confident in myself.
Was it true, getting Aussie rules, a pack of footy cards, you saw Adam Goods and your YouTube, that looks all right, I might have a crack?
Yeah, so that was probably when I started learning a bit more about the game, but I wasn't going for a team, but I was watching the game here and there, but and they were selling those footy cards in those Smith's packets of chips, and then I just opened one, and then I saw Adam Goods, and then I just watched a bit of him, and he was my favourite player, and then I ended up watching Sydney, and then they were just my favourite team in the AFL as well.
So what age were you when you started playing footy? How old?
13, something like that.
Do you know how good you have to be to start footy that late and make it in AFL? It is. That is incredible.
Oh, wow. How old were you, Zach?
Oh, I was about 18. But wow.
Originally from Griffith, New South Wales.
Yeah, I was born in Griffith.
Underbelly. There was an Underbelly show filmed in Griffith.
Lucky to get out of Griffith.
Yeah,
I got told about that all the time. Like, I had no idea when I was living there. So
mafia.
Yeah.
Be nice to the Italians up there.
Yeah.
And then moved to Cobram, which is a footy stronghold.
Yeah.
But you didn't take it. So you mentioned soccer. Mm. Footy would have been everywhere though in Cobram, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, it was like when I moved to Cobram, it took me a while to actually find some friends in that. So there was a soccer club around the corner from where I lived, and I used to just wander over there and watch them train and just watch a kick soccer all around. And I just decided that I wanted to join that sport. And then I played that for around 8 years of my life, I think. And then, I had a bit of a growth spurt and got to high school, and then a few mates just asked me to play footy, and then I went and joined.
A bit of a growth spurt.
Yeah. <That's> So you talk about how much you developed this year. Who are the big influences? I'm not. Everyone thinks I'm steering this.
He does
me.
This every time.
I don't know. Do this every time.
Every guest. So say it.
I'll say Zach.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. There you go. Big influence. I don't know. Really. Everyone. Like, from day one when I got here, just everyone has shown me so much support, and even through the preseason, and like Tommy Hawkins and Mens have obviously been a big part as well. Just learning the forward craft from them as well, but and of course yourself.
Big influence again. Another one.
You seem to, given your size, love the contest, love running into blokes, which as fans we just stand up and start cheering. I mean, is that just your nature? That's just, you know, use your body to hurt people as much as you can.
I wouldn't say hurt.
Tackle easily.
I just pretty much I'm just, I guess, a very competitive person, and if I see the ball, I probably just want the ball as much. So, as long as I'm creating contests, I'm happy.
Well, you play as a forward. Clearly, I'm stating the obvious there, but at times in the ruck as well. What's your engine like? What are the facets of the game that you need to work on after this season?
No, definitely, it's still my engine. I was reasonably poor when I got to the club as well, so still working on that a lot. And it's good that I've sort of got a bit and had spent a bit of time in the ruck as well. Add a bit of that in my game.
Who and living wise here in Geelong, yep. Who are you living with?
I'm living with Parford and Quinton Narkle. So that, yeah. Nah,
says, that, says that with a smile on his face.
Now, we've done a bit of Instagram looking. So
oh, geez.
Lammies is Cameron and I's most favourite haunt, other than the Edge, of course. Yeah,
sorry, the Edge.
I love that there's a picture there, you and the boys. Take us through how you've embraced Geelong and everything about it.
Oh, no, I love this spot, really. Geelong's perfect for me. I reckon if I moved to Melbourne, I would struggle in the city, in the business. So coming from the country and then moving to a place like this is, it's a perfect size and it's not too busy at all for me. But, I've sussed out a few of the clubs. Yeah.
Haven't made it to the Edge yet, no?
I went to the Edge when I first got here, actually. It was
haven't sort. Been back.
Was it? Didn't like it? Wow. Okay.
No, I just haven't been back, really.
Come on, Zach. Give me, ask him one more.
I'm so used to taking the our players when they come up here, but we do such a good job at Geelong of drafting people who are, like, he talked about how competitive he is, but for those who don't know, geez, he can smash packs like any player I've seen. And the competitiveness, because he's so ferocious at it, he just draws your eye. So for Geelong supporters, in the next year or two, just look out.
And did you... You can talk about
it.
Did you notice that this pre-season, the improvement from last year to this year, and just like, oh wow, this kid can really play, and he's gonna have an impact this season.
It was really obvious from the start. Like, clearly his skill set is incredibly unique. But the way he's been able to, like, talk about forward craft and working with Hawk and Menz and those types, the more of that nuance he's picked up, which he's done incredibly well this pre-season, like, he's just so strong at the ball that the smarter he gets as a footballer, the more he's going to make you want to kick to him. And because he moves so well and can jump so high, geez, he just draws your eye when you're in the back line.
Now, do we have a story about this just week just post. Gone?
Well, it's not a story. So as you can imagine, we're all pretty sour after the Essendon loss. Yes.
And here we go.
Sav swans into the club is the only way I can describe it. And the first thing he said is, no Sav, no Geelong.
There
and that
it
was
is. There it
no
is.
Sav, no Geelong.
He Everyone's said thinking it.
So you have been spending time at Menz, haven't you? Because that's...
Wow. Yeah, no. No, that yeah. definitely
that
did
true?
Not happen. No.
I thought the humble kid from the country has just got a bit of swagger about him.
Yeah, I might have made that up. But
just a little bit.
We said right before, Zach said that you are back this week. Can you confirm that?
Yep.
You'll play this week?
Yeah, I'll be right to play this week.
Right, so just rested, whatever they want to
yeah,
call
so
it.
I had a few niggles from the game against Collingwood and then just wanted to keep on top of them and just had the weekend off.
Well, I know Cats fans will be very excited to hear that. They're loving the way that you're going about it. Good luck Saturday night and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Geez, exciting, Zach, Sav.
Incredible.
Love watching him play. The way he does launch at the footy is remarkable.
And he's such a good kid. Like, he's the nicest bloke you'll ever have a coffee with.
So you're just going to keep working on his game. He'll get better and
better. Yeah, he will. He's one of those raw types that everyone talks about. But, geez, he's impressive.
Oh, it'll be exciting to watch that, Scotty, in a couple of years' time once he fully grasps just how good he can be. Time for whom the bell tolls. One of our favourite segments of this podcast where we put somebody or something under a little bit of pressure in the big wide world or the rest of the AFL world. And Scotty, as always, you can lead us away.
Well, the royal wedding. We can't go away without discussing it.
What? It was enjoyable, wasn't it? Fairy tale.
You're not happy? You taped it and watched it? Were you home in time to watch it?
Why were you supposed to care? Like,
what have you got? What have you got against redheads?
It's not redheads. What it's actually the English. if you want me to say it.
Come on. There's no background there, is
there? I'm just intrigued by the famous guest list. So, Oprah Winfrey. How many times has she had...
Oprah. Winfrey?
Winfrey. How many times has she had lunch with Harry and Megs? What do you reckon? Never. Yeah. Serena. Do you reckon they hang out together? Georgie Clooney. Bex.
Leave him alone.
Seriously.
Posh and Bex would be hanging
out. It was good watching and I enjoyed it. And people like you, there was a lot of people who said that. I mean, you definitely didn't watch it. I get that. There was a lot of others going, oh, no, I'm too cool. I won't watch it. It was great watching. The Preacher was a highlight.
The Preacher.
The Preacher was outstanding.
Michael, was it Michael Curry, his name?
He was the Queen had no interest in the whole thing. It was just great. Oh, but I question, my question is celebrity guests. You would have few at your wedding. You're bigger than, who did you have? You would have two or three. You went, oh, why are they here?
Well, yeah, well, but they were former teammates of mine. Halfway through the night, I wondered why I invited them.
Correct.
Zach, you didn't watch the royal wedding. What have you? What are you going to put under the pump here?
Well, fitness is important, and we admire people
admire
people late in life who look after themselves. But middle-aged men trying do sprints.
Oh, no. Who?
I'm all for jogging and gym and sprints.
Scotty, I told you this in confidence.
Sprints.
You did not tell Zach. This was not.
Have
the
they
podcast.
Caught the sniper, Cameron?
So what's happened, Cameron?
I told you this in confidence.
We're all a team here. What's said is above.
Okay.
So clarify,
I've
Cameron.
Been trying to do a little bit of running lately just to keep fit, just to be healthy. And I got sick of bored of doing the long, boring run. So I thought I'd do a few strides.
And?
Just a short, intense sort of session. And about halfway through my fifth stride, a little sniper from the bushes got me in the hammy. And
gone.
Now, when I was at my absolute peak of my AFL career, I never ran fast enough to do a hammy then. So you can only imagine how slow I was moving yesterday, but I did a hammy.
Fantastic.
And while I was here, just before we started this at the footy club, I went and sought out the strength and conditioning coach and asked for a rehab program for my torn hammy. Scott, I can't trust you with anything.
Me and Zach share everything.
You've told Zach that one.
Campaigns together, we have a lot of things together.
Can I challenge AFL coaches?
Yes.
To forget about this entire team defence. Forget about everybody having to join in defence. I'm throwing a challenge. Just go and stand a full forward 30 metres out from goal and tell him, don't chase. Don't spend one single bit of petrol and chasing. Like the premier strikers do in soccer, give a little token look as though, I'm sort of chasing you, putting a bit of pressure on. They save all of their petrol when it's time to attack and potentially score a goal. Jordan De Goey did a little bit of that on the weekend, stayed about 30 metres out from goal, kicked six goals, and was just a beast up forward. When you got the likes of De Goey and Dangerfield and Dusty, Buddy Franklin, just tell him to stand there and say to the opposition, you do what you like, but he's just going to stay inside 50 and not move.
I don't mind. It's coming back in a small bit. Some teams are maybe not anchoring them as hard as you want, but I reckon it's creeping back in.
And then the odd time, when you see a player get a fast break and they go bolting out of half back and they look up and then they're just forced to either go sideways or slow down because nothing's in front of them, they might actually have someone to kick to then as well.
It's not a bad idea. You can even kick it to.
Yeah. Since your injury?
I actually thought Zach was going to tear
apart. I don't mind it.
After my fellow media commentators dared to suggest people can't come to the bench or shouldn't come to the bench after kicking a goal,
Sort of agreed with me and then didn't back me up on the coverage.
Gave absolutely nothing. I thought we've been solid today, boys, after Saturday's performance. Zach's come in beautifully. We've got to finish up. But before we do, it is Carlton, Saturday night. Here at GMHBA Stadium, a chance to bounce back against your old mob. Just interestingly, we saw Luke Hodge play against Brisbane for the first time on the weekend and played for Brisbane against Hawthorn, had a terrific win for the Lions. What was it like last year when you first played against the Blues? How were you treated by the Carlton fans and Carlton players?
Well, not great, but still better than Henderson. They still dislike him a lot more than me, It was kind of fun. I always think it'd be worse as an ex-player if you got the ball and there was just silence. Like, that'd be worse than
they just didn't
than boo.
Care
yeah,
about
just
you.
Didn't care enough to boo, so kind of shot themselves in the foot. I wasn't sure they'd care that I left, but now I know they do, so.
And they tagged you on your game, which made a lot of sense. They got rid of you and then tagged you.
Yeah, that day they did. Yeah, first.
Will it still be funny, that Saturday night? You spent how many years?
Seven.
7 years at Carlton. Or now you just, given you've already played that game, that first game, it's now just another opposition.
Maybe a little bit more. It was weird the first time around. But like, I still have really close friends playing there and they're not going great at the minute. And a little bit of me really finds it hard to watch because I know how hard they've worked, but another bit of me doesn't really care.
They are struggling, but they got belted on the weekend. They'll come out breathing fire Saturday night. No doubt the Cats will come out breathing fire because of the disappointment of Saturday. It'll be a hot start.
Yeah.
If everything goes as it should, the Cats should win comfortably, Scotty.
Oh, comfortably. It'll be 15 goals, Cameron.
15 goals?
It should be. Zach needs to light a match underneath his teammates.
Well, let's hope this time next week when we're sitting here, Zach walks in strutting around, 15-goal win.
Peacocking.
Happy Correct. As Larry. Fingers crossed. Good luck on Saturday night.
Thank you.
Enjoy the night. As we've heard throughout the podcast, the triple header, the VFL, the VFLW, and the AFL, all playing here at GMHBA Stadium on Saturday. I'll be there Saturday night cheering you guys on in a completely unofficial capacity. Oh, no work for
drinking.
Me.
Drinking. What's happening?
No, I'm bringing little Maxi, my son, along to a game. So it'll be an enjoyable night. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.